I've read these letters a lot of times, and I know that you have read them a lot of times. Some of you have read them a lot of times. And yet this letter to the Laodicean church in chapter 3 of Revelation just struck me again. I don't know if it's just because God wanted me to reemphasize it again, or if it's because of what Pastor Salek said last week, or what I said 2 weeks ago, but it all just kind of goes together. And so when I was reading through these verses, I was thinking how important it is that God's church, people in God's church, don't find ourselves in that lukewarm category that is so dangerous, we're going to see in just a moment. But that we find ourselves, as Pastor Salek said, remember last week he said, burning in our bones for God. And so I was reading that and I was thinking, it seems like I've just preached on this Revelation 3, and yet I went through the webpage and I looked the entire last year and I couldn't find it, so I figured, well, must be what the Lord wants me to preach on today. And so if you've got your Bible, Revelation 3, 14 to 22. Revelation 3 to the lukewarm church. This is letter number 7. There are 7 churches he addresses, and this is the last one. And Jesus had told John in chapter 1, verse 11, he said, I'm going to tell you some things to write to these churches. And so here's what he says. And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. He wanted the Laodicean church to recognize who he was that was speaking. He said to John, and he has a title for each letter. You can see that as you read through them. But he says here, these things says the Amen. These things says the faithful and true witness. These things say the beginning of the creation of God. To remind them who he was. God. Yes, he had been there in the flesh. But he was God. At the beginning with God. And he goes on to say in verse 15, I know your works, that you are neither hot nor cold. And he says in the New King James Version, I could wish you were cold or hot, which implies to me that they were neither. They were not hot for Christ anymore. I don't know if they had been or not, but they were not. And they were not cold. They were in that dangerous middle category called being lukewarm for God. And as I read this, I believe that this is the message that God is speaking to our church, our churches in America. God is saying to us, the people of God, the people in churches, regardless of the handle on the sign out front, I know your works. And I mentioned to the earlier service, and I'll mention it once again, the Bible says man looks at the outward appearance. You know what? You can see me, I can see you, we can see people around us, and we look at the outward appearance. But God looks at the heart. And he says to the church in Laodicea, and he says perhaps to the church in Motley or Timbuktu or the next place down the street, I know what's in your heart. I know your works. You might be fooling a few folks some of the time, but you're not fooling me any of the time. I know who you are. And he says, I could just wish that you're either hot or cold, he says, or hot. And I elaborated a little bit more about that cold and hot this morning. I'm not going to take the time now because I ran out of time this earlier service. But I just suffice it to say they knew about cold and hot simply because of nature around them. Hot springs in their area, cold refreshing water in their area, and lukewarm water coming down the aqueduct to the Laodiceans. They knew about hot and cold. They could relate. But Jesus wasn't talking about water. He was talking about them as individuals, them as a church. In verse 16, he says, "So then, because you are lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you," the King James Version, and the New King James Version says, "I will vomit you out of my mouth," the NIV, and others say, "I will spew you out of my mouth." The church at Laodicea was neither cold, which means simply openly rejecting Christ. Now, we don't know him. We haven't met up with him yet. They were not cold. The church at Laodicea was not hot, filled with spiritual life and zeal and fervor for God. They were neither. They were neither. They were not cold, openly rejecting him. They were not hot, saying, "Yes, we're going to walk with Jesus. We're going to stand up for Jesus. We're going to let our light shine for Jesus." They were neither. They were in this category, this lukewarm category that said, "You know what? You know what? We're Christians, and we know about God, and we know about Jesus," but they didn't act like it. They said it and didn't look like it. They're in this lukewarm category that God said, Jesus told John to write to them, "I wish that you were either cold," and I think he says that because he says, I think he's saying, "because I could use you, I could bring you to life. Or I wish that you were hot for me, because then I can really use you. But because you're lukewarm, you're in the middle there, you're thinking you got it all together, and you got nothing together, I'll spew you out of my mouth." I think the lukewarm category is the very, very dangerous category, and a category for which not just the church at Laodicea finds itself today, but many. We also must be on guard to be the lukewarm church. The church that you visit or you attend, we need to be on guard here and where you attend other times. We need to be on guard to be, not be, and fall into that lukewarm, callous, mediocre church. Because Jesus was very clear to John, to that church, "I will vomit you out of my mouth." So then, because you are lukewarm, I like John MacArthur's commentary in this regard. He said, this church was not cold, it was not hot. Instead, this church was lukewarm, it was hypocrites, it was professing to know Jesus, but not following him. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Sounds familiar. Remember what Pastor Salek challenged us with last week? He said, people of God, we got to burn in our hearts, burn in our bones for God. And until we do, we're just mediocre. And I like what MacArthur said. These folks said they knew Jesus, said they knew about God. I don't know if it was an intellectual assent or I don't know what the relationship was. But commentators suggest that they knew about him. They said they're Christians. But they sure didn't look like it. And Jesus said, because you're neither hot or cold, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Just like that tepid, lukewarm water that they are so used to coming down the viaduct, aqueduct. I believe that Jesus was suggesting to the Laodiceans, don't even call yourself a church until you... in this lukewarm category. You say, well, Jim, I think you're all wet and I think you're all wrong. Well, that could be. I could be. But I think he was suggesting, don't call yourself my followers when you don't follow. I think it goes right along with what he said in Luke when Jesus said, why do you call me Lord when you don't do what I say? And this is not from John MacArthur's commentary or anybody else's. It's simply from mine, but my commentary. But I feel as I read through this, that it's not God who's made all the denominations, and it's not denominations who make up the church, but it's God's surrendered people who come to know Him and walk with Him regardless of the denomination, regardless of the title out front. It's God's surrendered people that come to know Him in a life-changing, powerful way that makes up His church. People like you and I, people down the street in the next town, people that have come to know Jesus in a life-transforming way, not that said, yeah, I know about Him, and go back about living in the world. You say, Jim, we got to live in the world. You're right. The Bible says we do need to live in the world, but not of the world. And so he needs people like you and I and the folks all around us to make a conscious decision for Christ. And when we make that conscious decision for Christ, not have one foot in the world and one in the church. He wants us to be hot for Christ. And I believe he's telling us in America today, there's a whole lot of lukewarmness. And I need you to be hot, I believe God is saying to us. I need you to be hot for Jesus. And you know what? The church is made up of individuals. And so when you leave out of here on Sunday and you go about your business on Monday, he needs you to be hot on Monday too. He needs us to be alive in Jesus on Monday too. And Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday until we come together again and we worship him together like we've been doing this morning. He needs us to be visible and hot for Jesus Monday through Saturday. Not lukewarm that says, yeah, I'm all about that on Sunday and go back about the world on Monday. He needs the church to be alive in him. He needs us to be hot in him. And then they argue, or he knows their argument in verse 17. Because you say I'm rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing. And really he's saying, and the real fact of it is you're wretched, you're miserable, you're poor, you're blind, and if that ain't enough, you're naked too. He said, you think you got it all together, church at Laodicea. But he said, in reality, you're a pathetic, miserable group. Blind. Blind to the truth. Poor. Poor to the gospel. Miserable because you think you got the riches of the world and you don't have me. As I read about Laodicea a little bit, I realize that they are the wealthiest, they were at least, the wealthiest commercial center in that entire area. They had gold. They had gold. They had lots of gold. And so they had banking. And they had wool, and they had clothing, and they had medicines, and particularly they had this eye salve that was apparently good stuff. And so they had all these things, and they were rich, and they had things going on, and they were modern, and they were worldly, and they were loving it. And Jesus comes along and says, but you're lost, or apostate. I don't know what he means there, but you can. He means one or the other. You're apart from me anyway. They thought they had need of nothing, kind of the way I fear too much of life, too much of church, too much of Christianity is today. We got it all. Why do we need God? He says to that remark, to their own thoughts, I counsel you to buy for me gold refined in the fire. He's not talking about gold bullion here. He's not talking about gold bars. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. He picks these three earthly treasures and pleasures that they can relate to. In the gold and the clothing and the eye and the medicines with the three spiritual needs that they really, really still have. He says, you're just a wretched lot. You're a miserable lot. You're a poor lot. You're a blind lot. You're a naked lot. And in verse 19, he reminds him, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. As many as I love, he said, I rebuke and chasten. Sometimes you ask me, Jim, why do I got to go through this rebuking? Why do I got to go through this trial? Or why is this happening in my life? Or why that? Sometimes it's because he loves you. And he's trying to draw you closer to him. He says, I love those as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. He loved this group of people in the church called Laodicea. And he's suggesting here, because I love you, expect some chastening. Some rebuke to draw you back to me. And perhaps we will suffer some chastening or some rebuke at the hand of God to draw us unto him in the first place. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. And he concludes by, therefore, be zealous and repent. It starts with repentance. God, I've turned away from you. I've been doing my own things. It starts with repentance. One foot in the world, a foot and a half in the world. I don't know what they were, but I know he was trying to get their attention and say, I need you, church, to come alive in Jesus. This lukewarmness will never do. Into that beautiful verse in verse 20. This is a verse that you should know by heart. Because as God's soldiers, men and women, as you tramp the fields of life, as God's soldiers, you should have these kind of verses tucked away in your heart. So when you encounter your brother or your sister, or you encounter your neighbor, or you encounter your coworker, these type of verses come to the forefront of your mind that says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. That's Jesus talking to the church, but he's also talking to individuals. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and dine with him and he with me. This, I love this verse, and I call it the plea of Christ. The plea of Christ, the heart of God that's not willing and he should perish. The plea of Jesus, can I come in? Can I come into your life? Will you allow me in? Open up the door. I ain't going to kick it down. That's not who he is. And he's pleading with this church who apparently has decided to do things their own way. He's pleading with this church. I'm standing at the door and I'm knocking. And if you'll open it up, I'll come in and fellowship with you and dine with you. And the King James says, and to sup with you and he with me. Your commentary, some of them in your Bibles, you that have study Bibles, will point out that this verse is to the church. And this letter is to the church. But this verse I submit is also to individuals because the church is made up of individuals. He's knocking on hearts' doors today. He's knocking on church doors today. He's asking people in churches all over America, can I come in? Because you've shut the door on me. He's asking people in church and out of church, can I come into your lives? Can I help you in life? Can I be your father? Can I be your savior? Can I take you to heaven with me? He's asking, can I come in? And the churches, too many churches today, it wasn't just the Laodicean church. The churches in America today are saying, I'll do it my way, thank you very much, and the doors are shut. And if you don't believe me, look at the news from last week and last year and the year before. The churches are saying, I will do it my way, thank you very much. And they're shutting the door to Jesus. And he's simply saying, please let me in. Please let me in, churches. Please let me in, individuals in the churches. And he goes on to say, to him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne. And folks, it don't get any better than that. You know, we might think we got it all together here, all right? We're leading a good life. We're kind of living the world. We got a few things happening. But if we never confessed our sins before God and invite Christ into our life, we ain't ever going to sit on a throne with Him. But He says, to him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on a throne. And I don't know if that gives your heart joy, but it gives me joy. To sit with me on my throne, he said. He's saying, church, please let me in. As I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne, in verse 22, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And I think this is quite simply summed up. Listen to me, please. Jesus, the voice of Jesus saying, listen to me, please. Life is short. People in our own congregation lost their family this week. My neighbor passed away this week. And the next person down the road, people are passing away. That's not news to us. Life is short. And Jesus is simply saying to people and to churches, listen up. I want to come in. I want to be part of your life. I want to take you home to heaven. But you gotta open the door. You gotta let him in. You gotta surrender to the lordship of Jesus. There's too much of saying, yes, I know about God, and I think He's even real. There's too much intellectual assent that says, I think He's real, I believe in Him. We need to know Him as Lord. We got to surrender our lives to Him. Not one foot on the earth and playing the games, and one foot in church. He wants a church that's hot for Him. He wants people that are alive in Jesus. He wants people that are alive with His Spirit. Are you hearing me today, friends? He wants people to come alive. He wants His church to be visible. He wants His people in the church to be visible Monday through Saturday, not blending in, looking like the world. He says to him, because I would that you were hot for me, but you're not. I would that you were cold for me, but you're not there either. You're lukewarm, and I can't use lukewarm. I think He's speaking to us, brothers and sisters. I think He's speaking to the churches in the 21st century. We need Jesus. The goal that He's referring to, we need Jesus. We need to confess it all, and we need to lay it all on the line for Jesus and give it all to Him. We need to surrender. We need to come to the end of ourselves, our pride, and our wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked ways. And we need to surrender to Jesus. That's the gold He's talking about. Buy from me gold, He said. Take from me the gold. We need to put on the robe. We need to put on His righteousness. Our goodness is never going to do. Jim, you say, I haven't been that bad. Praise the Lord for that. But our goodness is never going to do. Andy Stanley, I think it is, writes a book that says, how good is good enough? Your goodness and my goodness will never do. We need to put on the righteousness of Jesus. We need to invite Him into our life. We need to surrender to Him. Our goodness, no matter how good I am, is not good enough. It's Jesus. That's the gold. And the white raiment He's talking about. And we need to put on the salve in our eyes to open up to Him the truth. I don't have time to talk about that. I need to move on. Our time is up. But I don't care if the world says it's okay. If it's contrary to the Word of God, it's not okay. We need to know the truth of Jesus. We need to know the truth in this book. And stop saying, I can use this portion and I can't use this. We need to know the truth of Jesus. We need to know what He said. We need to know what He taught. We need to know how He lived. Just because the world is doing it doesn't mean it's right. If it's contrary to this, it's wrong. Probably sin. Listen to me, brothers and sisters. Jesus, I believe, is once again saying to the churches as well as individuals all over the world, and particularly in North America, I'm standing at your doors. I'm standing at your doors. I'm knocking. And I'm sure wanting to come in if you'll open the door and let me in. I want to save you. I want to rescue that Laodicean church. I want to rescue that lukewarm church and help them get back on their feet. We need to invite Christ into our life. We need to surrender ourselves to Jesus, like I've already said, and stop, as some commentators, including my Bible's John MacArthur, stop being just that visual thing, that fake, with no heart for Jesus, that poser, if you will, posing to be a Christian and reality in the world. He's saying, I want to come in. Church of God, I want to come in. I want to come in and help you be the people of God that I need you to be. Let me close with a couple of statistics that I read to go along with what I've just shared this morning. I like to read about Barna's findings, because they're a Christian organization that likes to poll people about things. And I like to get a little feedback from that to see how we're doing, I guess. Thermometer, to see how we're doing. And so this is a relatively new survey. The Barna survey asked questions about God, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, Satan, and demons. And although I don't have time to talk about all that, I'm going to mention a couple things. Around 2000, okay, he just took a small poll, but it's a representation. Around 2000, self-described Christians were asked about their perception of God. In total, three-quarters said he was all-powerful, all-knowing, created the universe, who rules the world today. You say, Jim, that's good news. Three-quarters of the Christians said he's all-powerful, he's omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient. Three-quarters. The other 25% said he wasn't. The other 25 said things like this, everyone's a god. Or things like, God refers to the realization of human potential. Lukewarm. At best. For the other parts of the survey items, there was a four-part opinion scale, which was used to measure God's reaction, measure people's reaction to statements about each spiritual entity. 4 out of 10 Christians strongly agreed that Satan is not a living being, but a symbol of evil. 4 out of 10 of the so-called Christians said that Satan is not real, he's just a symbol. Folks, we call ourselves Christians and we don't even know who God is. That's exactly what he's saying to the Laodicean church. You call yourself Christians, and he said, but you're in this category called lukewarm. You're not hot for me at all. And I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. It goes further. 19 more, the same question, 19 more percent, which now makes it about 60%, don't even know, don't even agree that the devil is real. You say, Jim, that's just some old figures. Yeah, well, that's what they do for life. That's what they do for a living. They poll people to see how people are thinking and acting. 60% of those Christians polled said Satan's not even real. Although a core teaching of Christian faith is the divinity and perfection of Jesus, and might I add, that's good to understand and believe, that he is God, that he was perfect. That's a good thing. He asked them about that, and although that is it should be our core teachings, millions of Christians do not accept that teaching. More than 22% strongly agree that Jesus Christ sinned when he was here on earth. More than 22% strongly agreed that he sinned. This is Christians. This is people that say, I'm a Christian. And yet 22% say, nah, he's just a sinner. And there was more. 17, there was an additional 17% agreeing somewhat that he probably did sin. That makes 40% of Christians polled that said, you know what, I think he's just a sinner. We don't even know who God is. We don't even know what the Bible says. And when he says to the Laodicean church, please, I'm standing at the door, he's talking to 21st century churches too. I'm standing at the door, churches and individuals, and I'm begging, God is saying, I'm begging for you to let me into your lives completely. And we ain't listening. The Laodicean church had some issue. And these polls and these statistics say we're not listening. Much like the perceptions of Satan, most Christians do not believe that the Holy Spirit is a living force either. Over 38% strongly agreed and 20% more agreed somewhat that the Holy Spirit is just a symbol. That's 58%. Nah, he ain't real. He's a symbol. We talk about this precious, precious Word of God. I value and cherish. I, like David, say, how I delight in thy law. How I meditate on thy precepts. And I hope you take time to get into it every day. But I feel that is the absolute word, absolute truth, absolute authority of God. Listen to this. A slight majority of Christians strongly agree that the Bible is accurate. 55% strongly agree that the Bible is accurate. You say, Jim, good news. I say that's pathetic news. Where's the other 45% of Christians that says this is not the Word of God? This is an old textbook. I'll use what parts I want. That's what we're saying. That is the lukewarmness I'm talking about. That's the lukewarmness Jesus addressed at Laodicea. He's saying, churches, as Pastor Salek said last week, people of God, let Jesus burn in your bones. Let it transform you. Let Him be real to you. Let Him be meaningful to you. Church of God, He's saying, wake up and let me in. You've done things your own way, and it ain't working. 55% of Christians polled said, yes, I believe this is the truth of God. 45% don't. Watered down, lukewarm Christianity. He doesn't have any time for it. I will spew you out of my mouth, he said. Lukewarm is dangerous, brothers and sisters. Lukewarm is dangerous because it's people thinking, I got it all together. I was talking to somebody just a day or so ago. I said, do you know Christ? Have you received Him into your life? The reply is, I think so. And I'm not belittling Him. But brothers and sisters, we need to know what's in here. We need to know if Jesus is Lord. We need to know who He is. We need to know if He is my Lord. And if I don't know, well, I'm saying He's probably not. We need to know He's Lord. And if He is not Lord, brothers and sisters, friends, we're not ready for heaven. And if He is not Lord, we're never going to be hot for Him. You see the seriousness of lukewarm, brothers and sisters. Lukewarm is a dangerous place to be. We thinking we got it all together. One person's replied to me when I asked him, are you going to be in heaven when you die? I think I'll make her, was his reply. Hot or cold, Jesus said. Are you hot or cold? I can use you if you're cold because I'll draw you out of the depths and I want you to be hot. But if you're lukewarm thinking you got it all together and you got no other needs, he said, you are in a dangerous, dangerous place and I don't have time for you. I'm spewing you out my mouth. Time is up. Let me close with this. Jesus said in Luke, to people that were following Him, why do you call me Lord, but you don't do what I say? I believe that was a broken-hearted Jesus that said that. Why do you call me Lord and don't do what I say? Jesus said in Matthew 7:21, you've heard me say it over and over and over, not everybody that says unto me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. We'll stand there. You can read the text. We'll rationalize, but God, I did this, and God, I did that. I went to church a time or two even. But that verse concludes with this, but him that does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Folks, we got to decide. As individuals in a church, whichever church you're in, I'm thankful for all y'all today. Some of you are here, some of you are different. Whatever church we're in, we got to decide. Are we hot for Jesus? Are we just some lukewarm, tepid mediocrity that He can't use? And as individuals, He's knocking on somebody's heart's door today. You didn't come by accident. People didn't come last week, the week before, by accident. It's because God is calling hearts to Himself. If He's calling your heart and you feel it in your heart that you don't know Him personally, you don't know Him the way you should, you haven't surrendered completely to Him, you got some things you're holding back, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. We need to surrender to Him completely, because thinking I've got one foot in the world and one foot in heaven is never going to work. He can't use lukewarm. You need to be surrendered to Jesus Christ as Lord. Lord of my life. Lord of your life. Lord of this church. Lord of the next church. Lord of the next church. Lord of your church. Let's close in prayer. And while our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed and our hearts are closed, I want to ask you today, Is he Lord at all? Because if he is not Lord of all in your life, he's not probably not Lord at all. He's knocking on hearts today, friends. You're not here by accident. You're here because Jesus loved you so much that he went to the cross and died. And he rose again, victorious. But he wants you and I, he wants you and I to open up the door of your life. He wants you and I to say, Jesus, come into my life. And if you've never done that and you want to do that today, you slip your hand up and down so I can see and we'll pray together. God knows your heart. Matter of fact, God knows if you're lukewarm or cold. And if you're wondering today about my relationship with God, is it real? Is it hot? And if it's not, you want to slip your hand up and down. I want to pray with you. I want to give you some literature and I want to help you in your walk with Jesus. Eternity depends on what you do with Jesus. Heaven and hell depend on whether you say yes to Jesus. Eternal God, you have once again reminded us you desire a church without spot or wrinkle. You desire a people that is holy. And no, none of us are that way to begin with. We are wretched. We are poor. We are blind, miserable, and naked. But when we know Jesus, when we surrender it all to Jesus, oh, Father, you clean us up. You forgive us of our sin. You set us on a pathway in life. You set us on a pathway in heaven. And so, Father, thank you again today for challenging us with this word that reminds us lukewarm isn't going to do it. Just knowing about God isn't going to do it. We need to invite Christ to take over our life, to surrender to Him completely. Thank you, Father, for this reminder. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for loving us in spite of choosing to do things our own way. Thank you for chastening. Thank you that you've reminded us again that if we've endured a little chastening, it's because you love us. Thank you for loving us when we're not lovable. And Father, if there are hearts here today that have not surrendered completely to you, I pray that your Spirit would turn up the heat, so to speak, the spiritual heat, and help them to realize, I need to open the door. I need to surrender to Jesus. I need to repent of my sin, confess of my sin, and invite Christ into my life as my Lord, as my Savior. Father, I pray that your Spirit would keep tapping on them doors. And I pray, oh God, that your Spirit would continue to tap on the church in North America. Tap loudly, Father, knock loudly on the door, that the church all over would let you in and let you take control. We need you, Father. We surrender to you. We repent before you. We swing the doors of the church, our lives wide open to you that you may come in. Come in like a flood, O God. Fill us with the love of Jesus. Fill us with the Spirit of the living God that we might be people for you. Hot, light, salt, all the things that you need us to be, we pray it in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.